talking about the Word of God from the book of Ecclesiastes, or speaking of the things of David and the songs of Solomon, as to the words of the prophet, the Word of God is the same to 1,000 generations, from one generation to another, and the Word of God is the same. And the beautiful thing about the Word of God is that the Word of God, they're not just words of expression as it would be with you and I as to an oral expression. That's not what it is. This is, as I would speak, there would be a sound that would come forth in your ears as from my vocal organs, or as to the vibrations of that which is within my throat to express itself, as to the strength, as to the energy that I have. That would be my words. Whereas the Bible said, it's not you speaking, but your heavenly Father speaking from within you, and that they spake on the day of Pentecost. That is, they spake as the Spirit gave forth the utterance. And I spoke to you about that this morning and tried to define that as to explaining to you these things. Here we speak of the words of the prophets, the words of God. The Bible said, in the prophets spake as they were moved upon by the Spirit. And then the preacher, he speaks as he's moved upon by the Spirit, because he is God's anointed. So then when he speaks as to you, God speaking unto you, then it is words of Spirit. Jesus said, my words are Spirit, and they are life. And not too long ago, we brought about a definition as to what is meant by words of Spirit and words of life. So then the word that comes to you, I say again, I speak. And from within my heart, out of the kingdom of God from within, there comes forth a sound. The sound is to my own vocal vibrations, and it may sound a little repulsive to you because I may not have a silver tongue like an orator. But the thing is, it comes forth. And when it comes forth, though it be the sound that's to my vocal organs, yet the energy and strength as to the spiritual expression, as to understanding that passeth human knowledge, comes forth. And though I may be rude in speech, Paul said, yet not in knowledge. And I speak, and then God says something, and you don't hear anything. All you hear is just what the sound of my voice is saying. And as to the vibrations that trouble the atomic particles of the air, you have an ear to record as to sound, and you've recorded the vibrations, and the brain has interpreted the vibrations, whether it be, as we would say, in one country to a Chinese language, or another country as to German, or as in America as to English. Whatever it might be, your brain interprets to the extent that you've been trained and brought up in this country or in that kind of people or in this generation as to understand. But they that are the elect of God, and they that are predestinated unto eternal life, and they that are the sons and daughters of God, they that are the children of light, they hear more than that. Well, there is an interpretation and translation as of heart. And through that sound comes something from another world, from the eternal God of heaven and of earth, as to the Spirit giving utterance. And it comes forth, and the children of light, they hear. And the Spirit of light as to Christ on the inside, he serves as an interpreter, as a translator, as to every sound, as to every verbal inspiration, as to everything that is said, as to every movement and motion, every vibration. He translates, he expresses himself as to the human heart to interpret, to tell them what God or the Spirit is saying unto the church, that the church may prepare themselves as to the warning, as to the danger, knowing that the time is nigh near even at the door. But the children of darkness, the Bible said, they know not when good comes, their eyes having been blinded by Lucifer, even the God of this world, they cannot understand. For the wicked shall not understand, for understanding is light. But the children shall understand, for they are children of light, and they are not overtaken with the intellectual darkness as to the confinement of death and the deep dark pit of separation from the eternal Father who is the Spirit of life. So when we think about these wonderful things and know what the Lord is saying to us, then we come to church, we enter into His gates with thanksgiving, we come into His courts with praise, and we give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Incorporating these into our lifestyle, making this the life of Christ, and we take heed how that we hear these things so that we don't misunderstand. Chapter 1, the words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher. Vanity of vanities. All is vanity. What profit had a man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun? One generation passeth away, and another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. The sun also ariseth, and the sun goeth down, and hasteth to his place where he arose. The wind goeth toward the south, and turneth about unto the north. It whirleth about continually, and the wind returneth again, according to his circuit. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. Unto the place from whence the rivers come, thither they return again. All things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new? It hath been done, it hath been already of old time, which was before us. There is no remembrance of former things, neither shall there be any remembrance of things that are to come with those that shall come after. I, the preacher, was king over Israel and Jerusalem. And I gave my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. This sore travail hath God given to the sons of man to be exercised therewith. I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. That which is crooked cannot be made straight, and that which is wanting cannot be numbered. I commune with mine own heart, saying, lo, I am come to great estate, and have gotten more wisdom than all they that have been before me in Jerusalem. Yea, my heart had great experience of wisdom and knowledge. I gave my heart to know wisdom, and to know madness and folly. I perceive that this also is vexation of spirit. For in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow. I said in my heart, go to now, I will prove thee with mirth. Therefore enjoy pleasure, and behold, this also is vanity. I said of laughter, it is mad, and of mirth, what doeth it? I sought in mine heart to give myself unto wine, yet acquainting my heart with wisdom, and to lay hold on folly, till I might see what was that good for the sons of men, which they should do under the heaven all the days of their life. I made me great works, I builded me houses, I planted me vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards, and I planted trees in them of all kind of fruits. I made me pools of water to water therewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. I got me servants and maidens and had servants born in my house. Also I had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. I gathered me also silver and gold and the peculiar treasures of kings and of the provinces. I get me men singers and women singers and the delights of the sons of men as musical instruments and that of all sorts. So I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me. And whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor. And this was my portion of all my labor. Then I looked on all the works that my hand hath wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do. And behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. And I turn myself to behold wisdom and madness and folly. For what can the man do that cometh after the king? Even that which hath been already done. Then I saw that wisdom excelleth folly, as far as light excelleth darkness. The wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walketh in darkness. And I myself perceived also that one event happeneth to them all. Then said I in my heart, as it happeneth to the fool, so it happeneth even to me. And why was I then more wise than I? Then I said in my heart, that this also is vanity. For there is no remembrance of the wise man more than of the fool forever. Seeing that which now is in the days to come shall all be forgotten. And how dieth the wise man? As the fool. Therefore I hated life, because the work that is wrought under the sun is grievous unto me, for all is vanity and vexation of spirit. Yea, I hated all my labor, which I had taken under the sun, because I should leave it unto the man that shall be after me. And who knoweth whether he be a wise man or a fool? Yet shall he have rule over all my labor wherein I have labored. And wherein I have showed myself wise under the sun, this is also vanity. Therefore I went about to cause my heart to despair of all the labor which I took under the sun. For there is a man whose labor is in wisdom and in knowledge and in equity. Yet to a man that hath not labored therein shall he leave it for his portion. This also is vanity and a great evil. For what hath man of all his labor and of the vexation of his heart, wherein he hath labored under the sun? For all his days are sorrows, and his travail grief. Yea, his heart taketh not rest in the night. This is also vanity. There is nothing better for a man than that he should eat and drink, and that he should make his soul enjoy good in his labor. This I also saw that it was from the hand of God. For who can eat, or who else can hasten hereunto more than I? For God giveth to a man that is good in his sight wisdom and knowledge and joy. But to the sinner he giveth travail to gather and to heap up, that he may give to him that is good before God. This also is vanity and vexation of spirit. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also he hath set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. I know that there is no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life. And also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it that men should fear before him. That which hath been is now, and that which is to be hath already been. And God requireth that which is past. And moreover, I saw under the sun the place of judgment, that wickedness was there, and the place of righteousness, that iniquity was there. I said in my heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked, for there is a time there for every purpose, for every work. I said in my heart concerning the estate of the sons of men, that God might manifest them, and that they might see that they themselves are beast. For that which befalleth the sons of men befalleth beast. Even one thing befalleth them, as the one dies, so dieth the other. Yea, they have all one breast, so that a man hath no preeminence above a beast, for all is vanity. All go into one place, all of the dust, and all turn to dust again. Who knoweth the spirit of man that goeth upward, and the spirit of the beast that goeth downward to the earth? Wherefore I perceive that there is nothing better than that a man should rejoice in his own works, for that is his potion, for who shall bring him to see what shall be after him? So I returned and considered all the oppressions that are done under the sun, and behold, the tears of such as were oppressed, and they that had no comforters, and on the side of their oppressors there was power, but they had no comforters. Wherefore I praise the dead which are already dead more than the living which are yet alive. Yea, better is he than both they which hath not yet been, who hath not seen the evil work that is done under the sun. Again I considered all travail in every right work, that for this a man is envied of his neighbor. This is also vanity and vexation of spirit. The fool foldeth his hands together and eateth his own flesh. Better is a handful with quietness than both the hands full with travail and vexation of spirit. Then I returned and I saw vanity under the sun. There's one alone, and there's not a second. Yea, he hath neither child nor brother, yet is there no end of all his labor. Neither is his eye satisfied with riches. Neither saith he, for whom do I labor and bereave my soul of good? This is also vanity, yea, it is a sore travail. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow, but woe unto him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Better is a poor and a wise child than an old and foolish king, who will no more be admonished. For out of prison he cometh to reign, whereas also he that is born in his kingdom becometh poor. I considered all the living which walk under the sun with the second child that shall stand up in his stead. There is no end of all the people, even of all that have been before them. They also that come after shall not rejoice in him. Surely this also is vanity and vexation of the spirit. Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. That's reading quite a bit from the book of Ecclesiastes. I'd like to comment just a little bit. As I said, there's some things I'd like to say. I don't know that I can say them. The atmosphere has to be right for what we say. And there's been some things that I wanted to say for a good little bit concerning the redemption of the body. And Solomon here is speaking of this in that he is telling us that there's nothing but vanity, vanity, vanity. It is written in the word that he that observes vanities, which is referred to as lying vanities, for forsaketh his own mercy, if he observes vanities. Whereas when you say, what do you mean, Brother Pike, observing vanities? I mean that all is vanity. He that observeth anything in this world, he forsaketh the mercies of Calvary. For all is vanity, and it's vexation of God, it's vexation of spirit, just to be vanity-minded, or as the Bible refers to it, carnally-minded, which means to be minded as that of natural things of life, is vexation to the Spirit of God. And the Bible said to be carnally-minded is death, but to be spiritually-minded is life and peace. So to be carnally minded, the Bible said that is to be an enemy of God. For the carnal mind is at enmity with God. It is not spiritual. It is a composition of vanity. All that you have in houses and lands, automobiles, wealth, your human person, as to your own human composition, as to your bones and the sinew of your flesh, is vanity. It passeth away. Every bit of it passes away. Though you place great emphasis on your body, on your flesh, on your face, on your physique, whatever, great emphasis you place on the values of life when it comes to the dollar, when it comes to land and houses and natural substance. Whereas the Bible says that if you have the love of the world in you, the love of the Father isn't there. Because the love that you have is the love of vanity. And heaven and earth shall pass away, and all that is therein shall pass away. And I remind you again, John said, I beheld until I saw the cities of the nations crumble to the ground. The great cities of London, like London. The great cities like Atlanta, Georgia. The great cities like New York. John said, I literally saw the great towering buildings, all that was therein, shaken until they crumbled to the ground. All is vanity. All is vexation of spirit. To observe vanity is to observe lies and to forsake the mercies of Calvary. To be naturally minded, to observe natural things, is to get away from God and to exile yourself from God, to have a natural mind as to a constitution of eating and drinking and fellowshipping and passions and all of the things that pertain to life. All of those things that you esteem as great things are things of less value, and your evaluation of life is very improper, and your values of life are all misconstrued, and the priorities of life are all misconstrued. Because you observe the lying vanities of life, you've lost the mercies of the works of Christ at Calvary. So then, the Bible said, come out from among them. Be a separate people. Touch not the unclean things, and I will receive you, saith the Lord. So, not to have the love of the world in you, but to meditate in the laws of God day and night. To have an understanding of God. To place your affection on things above, where thieves don't break through and steal, and where moth doesn't corrupt. For wherever your treasures are, there shall your heart or your affection be also. So then it says, let your conversation be holy, not as to earthly things or the materialistic vanities of life, but let your conversation be holy as pertaining to eternal values and eternal things from God, having the eternal riches and wealth and the treasures of heaven that are eternal, that are given to you in your earthen vessels. For the Bible said, now is made known to the church the manifold wisdom of God, even in the heavenly places. So then we should give our time, the Bible said, in continual search, praying always, meditating in his laws, day and night, casting down imagination in every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. Until I say again, we say that it's not I that liveth, but Christ that liveth within me. And the life I now live, I live by the Son of God. So then, to meditate in his laws day and night, to get to where all of our thoughts is on him, all of our meditation, all of our conversation, everything that we do is an endeavor toward Christ as to heavenly and eternal things. Anything aside from that, it doesn't matter what it is a total loss because it is vanity. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher. All is vanity, and it's a vexation to God because to be carnally minded is vanity, and to be carnally minded is death because there's no life except in the Spirit, and if you are in the Spirit, you're not in the flesh. Therefore, if you're not in the flesh, you will not think upon the things of the flesh. You will think upon the things of the Spirit. For to be in the flesh, the Bible said you cannot please God. For the flesh shall pass away. We're not in the flesh. God having chosen us out of the flesh, our mind is now in Christ. Our lives are now hid with Christ in God whom the heavens have received. And we are sitting in the heavenly places as to the intermand of God as we meditate in the laws of God day and night and sing the songs of redemption. This is why that we speak of the redemption of the body. What is the redemption of the body? The redemption of the body is that which escapeth the vanities of the world. For all that is of the world is the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. And the lust and the world thereof, it passeth away. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So then what is the lost? It is those that are taken with the things of life, the things of vanity. They observe the lying vanities of life. They are what the Bible refers to as the child of bondage or the bastard child, the child that doth not have a heavenly father. They are termed as those that are without. They are caught within the web of intellectual reasoning, and they are a derivative as to the fall from the tree of knowledge, and they are of the first man Adam, born unto death, unto anxiety, frustration, and fear. They are those that are under the bondage of the beggarly elements of the world, in that their minds and their spirits, their appetites and their desires is subject to the things of the world. For the Bible said God has subjected the creature to vanity, not willingly, but in hope. So then the creature, as to the natural person, as to the natural human person, as Webster defines it, the creature is groaning and waiting for the release, longing for the manifestation of the sons of God that shall break the yoke and take them from the bondage of vanities. So then you are subject to the vanities of life, which means you are a creature that is subject to bondage because of the beggarly elements of the world. That is, to love the things of the world, to follow the things of the world, to try to obtain the things of the world is a bondage. Because Paul said, even at the very best, all the world, all that it can afford is nothing but beggarly elements as to be compared to the heavenly treasures that are eternal. So then we find that as long as you are under the desire, concern, and of the power of this world, you are in bondage. You are a child of bondage. You are in bondage to the human mind as to human desire, as to the gullible desires of tangible substance. So then when we see this, we know then that there must be a child that is different from this. And that child is a child that is of the mind of Christ. They think on eternal things. Their conversation is in a heavenly realm. Their desire and ambition is to develop into the wonderful knowledge and understanding of God, to be a son of God that abideth forever. In that the world passeth away, and all that's in the world passeth away. If you be of the world, then ye shall pass away. For of the dust ye are, and to the dust ye shall return. That's why Solomon said all is as beast. All of you are as beast. If you're not born again, then ye are a beast. You would say, oh no, Brother Pike, but according to the Bible, ye are a beast. And the Bible teaches the scriptures cannot be broken. It is a proven book, as from the foundation of the world has been proven by every generation to be authentic as the word of God and the word of eternal life, as an absolute in life upon which we can base our confidence and faith. So as not to be as an infidel, but having an absolute in life, something we can depend on. This tells us that all of the world is nothing but beasts. They are derivative. from the garden, as to the fall from the tree of knowledge, as to the beast that worked through Eve that brought in the harlotry, as to Cain and all of the blood from righteous Abel, as to the blood of Jesus, and all generations shall come down upon those that have not given their hearts to God or not being born again because they are beast. And so then the Bible said beast, and some of them brute beasts, made to be taken and burned. And the Bible says, as to the ultimatum of this, that all of the world wondered after the beast. And I say this again, that when you look around and you see the ball games and you see the frolics and you see the love of the world and you see the vanities of vanities and all of the things that are perishable in life, and you see the bond child going after it, you know that in that the flesh is the beast and it comes from the beast, that all of humanity throughout the world except the sons of God are wandering after the beast. The Bible said whose number will become 666. So then they're wandering after the beast. That is, they're wandering after the flesh, whether it be the pattern, the paint, as to the face, whether it be the jogging and the programs, whether it be the recreational things of life, whether it be the excitement and the follies of life. Whatever they might be looking for as to positions in life, to be dignitaries or entertainers or whatever, all of the flesh is beast. And all of the world is wandering after the flesh, wandering after the beast. And the great headship as to the beast that comes up out of the waters of Revelation 13 will throne himself here in this world, and all of the world through the governmental powers and the empires and riches of the world will conform to him through the computerized system and be under the powers of his jurisdiction throughout the period, the 7 years of Daniel or the last week of Daniel. This power will begin to come into a constraint as to take control over the world, and all of the world will be pulled into it. But ye that are sons of God, ye that are daughters of God, ye that are children of light, are not of the world, nor the love of the world, nor the bond child as to the beggarly elements of the world. And so then ye are free children. Ye are to the image of God. Whereas he said in the morning as to the light of the dawning of doing away with this intellectual darkness that is called death, I will despise your image in that you are a bastard child. As to be born of the first man Adam, as to the fall of the garden, as to the beast, as to corruption. But ye that are children of light, conforming to his image, as bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, the Bible teaches that we don't know what he looks like, but we know that when he appears we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Everyone that hath this hope within them purifies themselves even as he is pure. For that hope is faith, and the Bible said God purifies our hearts by faith, by believing in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Even by the grace of God through faith, then are ye saved, and that not of yourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast, but it is the gift of God. So when we say redemption of the body, some of you understand what I'm about to say. There is, as I said this morning, an innermost person. Whereas the Bible speaks of this as an angelic being, and the Bible refers to it as your inner man. This man, through new birth, enters into the Spirit of Christ or into heaven. And he cannot be touched anymore during his entire lifetime by Satan. Death can never come to him because he can never sin again. The Bible said, he that is born of God cannot sin. For God's seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Again, I say this is why the angel said to Daniel 500 years before the Messiah, and Messiah shall come, and he shall make an end of sin. And he came at Calvary, he made an end of sin. And today, they that are born of God cannot sin. And the Bible said, he that is born of God keepeth himself, and the evil one toucheth him not. Never at any time. And Christ will return for you because you are a church without spot and without wrinkle and without blemish. And the ministry is set there for the perfecting of the saints. Or the Bible said it's to the perfecting of your faith. That is to bring forth the knowledge as to detail the things of God, to tell you your benefits in Christ, that you might believe with a full confidence that unto the perfectness of His righteousness within you because of the finished works of Christ that has been told you by the ministry. So then we grow in the grace and knowledge of God to this full hearing of faith that brings the seal of His approval as to His Spirit and the purifying of our heart, in that He purifies our heart by His Spirit through grace as by the means of faith when we believe. Though we've been born again, and though we're clean, and though we're holy, and though we're sealed on the inside, yet there is still the redemption of the body. There is a continual warfare between the outer man and the inner angelic man, because Calvary has cleansed the inner man, and the outer man is still subject to the vanities of this world and Satan, the god of this world that worketh in the minds of the children of disobedience, taking them into captivity at his will, is warring in your flesh. Paul said, within my flesh there dwelleth no good thing. And the creature as to the body being subject to the vanities of this world, even though the inner man is sealed away. And at death, the Spirit went back to God who gave it, in that the Bible said, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin by the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, having been planted in a watery grave. Your spirit thus went back to God, in that it's translated into Christ's Spirit and into the things of God. And it is in perfect peace, sealed, that the evil one can never defile it. But even so, your body is still in conflict of situation. It is troubled. It is in misery. In me, the Bible said, as to the inner man of Christ, ye shall have peace. But in the world, as to the outer man that is subject to the vanities of life, ye shall have trouble. But greater is he that is within you, even Christ, than he that is in the world, even Lucifer, the god of this world. So then, because your bodies are of the dust, and Lucifer is the god of this world, even the prince of the powers of the air, even as to the atomic particles, as to the definition of science, Lucifer, ruling over the world, as to intellectual darkness and constraint and control of the world, he still has control of your mortal body, as to the atomic particles of which it is composed, as to that of the elements of the earth, as from the dust and back to the dust ye shall go. But Paul said, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all go to the dust. We shall not all die, for some of us shall be changed. Because in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, from mortality to immortality, from the terrestrial to the celestial, we shall be changed. The Bible said, caught up, the dead in Christ coming forth will ever be with God. But under this great, wonderful mystery, we're tutored until the time appointed of the Father. So I said that to say this, that we are still working toward righteousness. Not as of righteousness unto salvation, which is reckoned unto us by the works of the Lord Jesus, as to the inner angelic being and the translation of that interspiritual being into the kingdom of God. But as to the outer man, as to the surrender, as to the conformity, as to becoming what God wants us to be, that Christ may live in us so that Satan cannot reign within our mortal genes. That is to say, that Christ may come into the heart and Satan cannot reign within the mortal genes. Not to give place to him, but to completely eradicate the infiltration of the intellectual darkness of his constraint and of his spirit by the power of light, and that light and darkness hath no fellowship, as to the brightness of the coming of Christ, as to the unveiled glory, as to the mind of Christ and the mystery of the glory. The darkness is eradicated, and he destroys the man that sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God, as to the eradication of the infiltration. So then we see that we are moving from glory to glory, from understanding to understanding, growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus, going on to perfection. The Bible said to be holy even as he is holy, and the Bible said to be holy in body even as we are holy in spirit, and releasing the innermost holiness and joy and glory of eternal life into the mortal bodies, in that the Bible said, if the Spirit be within you that raised up Christ from the dead, he shall by this Spirit quicken your mortal body, even as much as he dwells within you.
So then we see that we must change the body. We must save ourselves from this underworld generation, as Peter said. We must come into the conformity of Christ. We must go on from glory to glory, and we must change this body. And there's only one way to change this body as to bodily redemption. You may jog, and you may take all kinds of vitamins, and you may get your beauty rest, and you may do all kinds of things to preserve your physique. But with all of that, you're eventually going to be thrown in a grave. The dust will be thrown in your face. If you last long enough, you'll be wrinkled and old. And they'll throw you in the ground just like the ones that didn't take the vitamins and the ones that didn't jog. So they all go to one place as the beast. They can pretty up your hair in the beauty parlor. The worms will still eat you. It doesn't matter what they do. You will still go to be with the worms. I said that to say this. There is a mystery. There is a secret. There is a word of God. There is a power of life. And you can come to it. But as I've said, though we are freely redeemed and saved by the word of God and the spirit of God, as to the inner man, as to the translation, yet we ourselves must put forth the effort as to surrender the body, conform to the word of God. Paul said, keeping under the body and bringing it into subjection. That is our job, to redeem the body, in that I am born again freely by the grace of God. I'm sealed as to the inner man so that Satan cannot touch me as to defile my soul. And my soul is saved. And I pass from death unto life, as to my angelic being separated from the eternal spirit of Almighty God, which is life. As to the second death that hath no power over me, as to the lake of fire, which is the separation of my angelic inner man from the eternal spirit of God. Death hath no power over me, for the Bible said I pass from death unto life, as to the inner man. But though the outer man sleeps, yet the inner man is free. And yet the outer man doesn't have to go to sleep to be fed with the worms, or to the worms, to sleep in the dust. But the Bible teaches a mystery. Paul said, I show you a mystery. Behold, we shall not all sleep. There will be a Thessalonian change in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, from mortality to immortality. We which remain and are alive, not dead, but we which remain and are alive, who've never slept, who've never gone into the grave, shall be changed. So then there's a power of change, even as Enoch was translated by faith, that he should not see death. Which, if we expounded on that tonight, it would take hours. But just bringing a few more thoughts to close, remembering that there is what the Bible refers to as the adoption. Though we've been translated as to the inner man into the marvelous kingdom of Christ or God, free from death, yet, according to the Bible, there is the outer man that must be subdued. And we must work as to the inner glory to make it manifest in our mortal genes, as to the light that was about Stephen's face when it shined as the face of an angel, or as Moses' face when they had to put a veil over it, as there's Jesus when he stood on the mountain with the illumination. See, though the inner glory is there, it must be released proportionally from glory to glory, understanding to understanding, to grow in the grace and knowledge as to the inner glory to be made manifest in the outer man, in the mortal genes, as to change this body from death by the eradication of the impurities. In that Paul said, you have within you the sentence of death. As to the day that thou eatest thou off, thou shalt surely die. So the impurities as to death is there. So as to the eradication comes the light, and it's up to you to reveal this proportionally, because if God comes forth to you as a light, there is no more you. Because I've said this many times, it takes light and darkness to compose an image. Get into photography, you can find that out. And when the great light comes after the millennium, as to the celestial earth, the Bible said the heavens flee away, the earth flees away, the mountains flee away. There's nothing left. If he should come to us, then all of us would dissipate. We would return to the original elements of which we're composed. So to preserve a bodily image, he comes from within, filling us with his spirit and releasing from within through the transformating of the mind as to the transfiguring of the outer image from the translation of the inner spirit. He reveals to us proportionally, as measure to measure, until he gradually causes us to absorb the light, eradicating a little at a time the darkness, and thus we preserve the image as the process of a film that has gone through the chemical changes to bring out the positive of a picture. So in seeing this, we know that we are working with God, with the inner man, to preserve the outer man, that the body may last eternally, that the creature which is groaning for release may find redemption. And in this, having had the secrets, or found the secrets in our age, God having revealed the secrets, we then, as this generation, have the secrets to bypass the sleep. But we must process the body, and we must indoctrinate, and we must be under the tutors as unto the time appointed of the Father, as to what we refer to as the bar mitzvah. And that means as to the change, as to the adoption. And when I say adoption, I say again, I am born to the Spirit of God inwardly. I do not have to be adopted. But in the outer man, I am born of Adam. I must then therefore be adopted as the outer man. So as to the inner man, as the translation into the kingdom, as the new birth, I am waiting patiently for the adoption as to the change of the outer man, as to the process of God. And I must do this by the law. Adoption, even in the natural, must be by the law. So then I must be adopted by the law. I must pass through the law. I must come forth under the standards of the law. I must measure up to the law. It's not possible for a human being to measure up to the law. For the Bible said, "No flesh shall be justified by the law." Even the Lord Jesus. The Bible said, "Great is the mystery of godliness, for God was manifested in the flesh. But his justification was in the Spirit, is to be our example. And he was seen of angels caught up in heaven." So then our justification cannot be by the law. For no flesh is justified by the law. But inasmuch as Christ Jesus fulfilled every jot and every tittle of the law, he folded up the law as to sin and death. He laid it away. And now the righteousness of the law is fulfilled within us, which brings forth that justification proportionally, glory to glory, as to the body. When the body measures up to the laws of God, and when it does, we are then free of the law, and by permission of the law, and by the command of the law, we have thus become an eternal creature, in that the law says, "I find no fault in this just man." And in that the law says he is free of sin and death, or the infiltration as of the law of sin and death. Then when the law says he hath measured up to everything that I have required, in that the Bible said, "And this is the fulfillment of the law, that thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart, with all of thy soul, with all of thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. Upon this hangs all of the law and the prophets." And so then the righteousness of the law, which is Christ within my heart, he brings me before the law and finds me without any spots, without any blemishes, without any blame, without any wrinkle. And the law says, "It is granted, it is permitted, you can adopt him." As it was with Ruth, as it was at the gate, as it was with Boaz, when Boaz at the gate forced the man to take off his shoe, as to unloose the shoe, to say that thou art the house of the loose shoe, or that is your soul is lost. And he turned and took the woman. He was justified, he took the woman. And the law had to say, thus it is, that he can have the woman. And so then Satan, who cannot hold on to the body, must back off, as it was in the days when the writer spoke of the dispute over the body of Moses, when Satan or death came for the body of Moses, and the angel of the Lord said, "The Lord rebuke thee, Satan." And he could not take the body unto death. And later the body is found standing on the Mount of Transfiguration, where it had gone into glory with Elijah, and appeared there with Jesus on the mount. Having no power, the law having no power of constraint over Jesus in the heart of the earth, it could not hold him. Death could not hold him. And in that he was delivered for my offenses and raised again for my justification, the grave can never hold me, for I am free from the law of sin and death. God hath redeemed my body, and I must come to the place to where I can wit the redemption of the body. And as the songwriter said, redeemed, redeemed, I'm redeemed by love divine. Glory, glory, Christ is mine. All to thee I resign, for I'm redeemed. So to come to this redemption, to get out of the world of vanities, to realize my redemption, I must work and bring this body under subjection to do my best to perfect it, to go on to holy and godly living. And in that I still stumble, God hath made me perfect, because every failure that I have is already taken away. For the Bible said that God hath already forgiven even all of our trespasses. He hath already forgiven them even before we make them, the writer said. So we are free from the law of sin and death. We're free from trespasses. And though we stumble, it is not imputed unto us as sin. For the Bible said, blessed is the man unto whom God will not impute sin, whose sins are forgiven and his iniquities are taken away, or his sins are covered. So then by faith, we've escaped death. And I find myself moving on to with the redemption that my body should pass the grave and not go into the dust, as every generation moves forth to the full measure of the full stature of the perfect man Christ Jesus, as to the full reward. Moving on to these wonderful things, redeeming the body, and every time we stumble and stagger, God does not impute it unto us. And the Bible said, blessed is the man unto whom God will not impute sin. And the Bible says that we should never condemn ourselves over the stumblings and staggerings, in that we're doing our best, for happy is he that doth not condemn himself over those things which he alloweth, going from mountaintop to mountaintop and joy to joy, knowing that we are free from all evil and that the evil one toucheth us not. Let's stand together. Much we could say about it, but it's getting late. From night to night, message to message, thus we come together to tell you of the wonderful things of God, to program your mind that it might produce believing, as to right believing, as to faith, as to salvation for your soul and preservation, eternal preservation for your life and for your body. Let's sing a little chorus together, can we? Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Can you sing it with me? Room at the cross for you. And although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross. Can you sing it with me? At the cross, where we first saw the light, and the burdens of our heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. Now I am happy all the day. For at the cross, where we first saw the light, and the burdens of our heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I'm happy all the day. Sweep over my soul, sweep over my soul, sweet Savior, sweep over my soul. Can you sing with me? For my soul, it's complete as I sit at your feet. Oh, sweet Savior, sweep over my soul.
For I've anchored my soul in God's saving arms, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. Though the tempest may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. Come into my heart, oh, come into my heart. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Just come in today and come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Sing it again, the altars are open. Come into my heart. Come into my heart. Just come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Just come in today and come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. We will praise Him. We will praise Him. Can you sing it? The Lord for sinners slain and give Him glory, all ye people, for His blood has washed away every stain. Sing it again. And we will praise Him. We will praise Him. Praise the Lord for sinners slain, to give Him glory, all ye people, for His blood has washed away every stain. I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. For be it morning, noon, or night, gonna be golden spotless white. I'll be ready when the bride. Can you sing it with me? Are you ready for the bridegroom to come? Are you ready for the bridegroom to come? For be it morning, noon, night, gonna be golden spotless white. Are you ready for the bridegroom to come? Oh, we're ready for the bridegroom to come. Yes, we're ready for the bridegroom to come. For be it morning, noon, or night, we're all dressed in spotless white, and we're ready for the bridegroom to come. For we're ready for the bridegroom to come. Oh, we're ready for the bridegroom to come. For be it morning, noon,
night. We're all dressed in Father's white, and we're ready for the bride. One more time. Are you ready for the bridegroom to come? Are you ready for the bridegroom to come? For be it morning, noon, or night, we're all dressed in Father's white, and we're ready for the bridegroom to come. Oh, Jesus gave her water that was not from the well. Jesus gave her water, and she went forth to tell. She went away singing, and she came back bringing others to the water that wasn't from the well. For Jesus gave her water that wasn't from the well. Jesus gave her water, and she went forth to tell. She went away singing, and she came back bringing others to the water that wasn't from the well. For Jesus gave her water that wasn't from the well. Jesus gave her water, and she went forth to tell. She went away singing, and she came back bringing others to the water that wasn't from the well. Can you say amen? Let's sing this little song that we sing every once in a while. For after all, this life is over, and my burdens have been lifted, and I stand upon the mountain, all so tall, looking over into the city that my Lord said he's preparing, gives me faith that I can make it. Can you sing it with me? Hallelujah. For after all, life is over, and my burdens have been lifted, and I stand upon the mountain, also tall, looking over into the city that my Lord said he's preparing, gives me faith that I can make it. Sing it again with me. For after all, this life is over. And I stand upon the mountain, also tall, looking over into the city that my Lord said he's preparing, gives me faith. Can you sing it one more time? I really can see over into that city. It really gives me faith. For after all, life is over, and my burdens have been lifted, and I stand upon the mountain, oh so tall, looking over into the city that my Lord said he's preparing, gives me faith that I can make it. Just one more time. If you believe it, sing it with me. For after all, life is over, and there's time and the stand on the mountain, also tall. City that my Lord said he prepared gives me faith that I can make it after all, and time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. For the angels shall stand on the sea and the land, and time shall be, sing it with me, and time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. For the angels shall stand on the sea and the land, and time, sing it one more time, for time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. For the angels shall stand on the sea and the land, and time shall be no more. I believe everything's all right, don't you? Let's sing that little chorus. Everything's gonna be all right. Everything's gonna be all right. Since Jesus came and saved my soul, everything's gonna be all right. Everything's gonna be all right. Everything's gonna be all right, since Jesus came and saved my soul, everything's gonna be all right. So let us praise Him, praise Him, praise Him in the morning, praise Him at the noontime. I wanna praise Him. Praise Him when the sun is going down. Oh, sometimes I feel like heaven's come down. Heaven has come down. Oh, but heaven has come down. And sometimes I feel like heaven's come down. Heaven has come down. Oh, me. So let us praise Him, praise Him, praise Him in the morning, and praise Him at the noontime. Praise, oh, let us praise Him, praise Him when the sun is going down. Oh, let us love Him, love. Love Him in the morning, love Him at the noontime. I want to love Him. Let us love Him, love Him. Can you sing it again? Why don't all of you just come to the altar? Oh, let us praise Him, praise.
praise Him when the sun is going down. Oh, let us praise Him. Praise Him in the morning and praise Him at the noontime. Let us praise Him. Praise Him when the sun is going down. Somebody say hallelujah. Can you give the Lord a hand? Praise Him in the morning. Praise Him at the noontime. Praise Him when the sun is going down. I've said this so many times down along the borders of Del Rio, Texas. Going to pray with a little Spanish woman. Her dying, a little arms so small, and knowing that she was dying, going over to say something to be a consolation as I went to speak to her. She spoke to me first, and she said, let us praise Him. Let us praise Him. So weak, like she said, let us praise Him in the morning, and let us praise Him in the evening, and let us praise Him when the sun is going down. She was dying. So I said, oh my God, I come to inspire, and I'm so inspired. Can you sing it? Let us praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him in the morning and praise Him at the noontime. Praise Him. I want to praise Him. Praise Him when the sun. Oh, sometimes I feel like heaven has come down. Heaven's come down. Oh, heaven has come down. And sometimes I feel like heaven's come down. Heaven's come down over me. So let us love Him. Love Him. Love Him in the morning, love Him at the noontime. I want to love Him. Let me love Him. Love Him when the sun is going down. Let's just lift our hands up to the Lord tonight. I want to praise Him. I want to love Him. I really want to do something for Jesus. Don't forget to pray for us today. Yesterday, I believe it was, they made our reservations for the world trip and crusades. We'll be leaving on June the 1st, at least as to the first part of the trip, and then maybe June the 26th as to the last part of the trip. They will take us clear around the world and all across the world as we go around the world. And the Lord has provided. He's still providing. So I ask you to pray for us. Pray that the Lord will help us and give us souls for our hire. I never desired to be a preacher. I told my wife I never have had an ambition to be a preacher, but I've always longed to be a soul winner. The Bible said, he that winneth souls is wise. And someday they shall shine as the brightness of the noonday. So I would like to be a soul winner. And we've tried to be a light. And we've tried to be honest and sincere from the depths of our heart and our minds, even to the reflex and intents of our heart and mind or body, to Christ the Savior. To be a light and to try to win souls. And you pray that we can win souls and that we will be wise and win souls and that you'll be wise and win souls. That we all may shine as the brightness of the noonday at the coming of the Son of God. May the Lord bless you tonight, lifting up our hands together, asking God to be with us and asking God to help us. Or standing here together tonight. We'd ask Brother Roger to come up and pray. And while Roger's coming to pray with us, I want you to consider me, my wife, my family. You don't have anybody to pray for or anything. Consider us. We'll be praying with you and we'll be doing what we can on the home front here until we go abroad. Tomorrow,
As far as I know, we have some things we'll be doing. And there'll be some that will be helping us tomorrow. There's still tracts to be folded. They'll probably be getting out the brochures around the world for the crusade. And it's going to take a lot of help out of the menfolk and out of the ladies. It's going to be a lot of work. Appreciate you travailing the other night as the people. The Bible said when Zion travailed, she brought forth the sons and daughters. And where you don't find a church that is really laboring and fighting for the right thing, you don't find souls. Where you do find a church that's laboring, pressing, and persevering, you find souls being won into the kingdom. So I thank you for your labor and perseverance a few nights ago as to the tracts. Because of that, there was about 100,000 tracts that came forth, and they'll give out about 50,000 of them, or over 50,000 at Washington for Jesus, to people of every state of the United States, and for the clothing that you put out that they took way down into old Mexico to help the people there. And we still need a lot of help, folks, a lot of help in a lot of ways. The laborers are few. Pray that God will send laborers into his vineyard to labor for the meat that perishes. It's not hard to find people to do that, but to labor for Christ. And every man looking to his own quarter for his own gain, it's not hard to find that. As to take care of his problems, his responsibilities. But it's hard to find people that care for the things of God, that will give a helping hand in any way to the things of God. Every man run to his own house, let the house of the Lord lay waste. While you've got your eyes closed, your hands lifted up to heaven, I'm going to ask Brother Roger to come and pray with you. Remember us. Pray for us.